gets position, does a nice job rebounding and scoring. King down low, over Bigelow. You know, that's the thing with that size, David. Even though he doesn't have the height, if he gets a guy pinned behind him, he can roll him towards the hoop and do some damage.
He's amazing. I'm trying to think of a good adjective to describe it.
He can ask, and the jump hook by the King. King with the catch and the release. Nice job by David King. Crawford misses. King again inside on the offensive rebound. David King. King with a rejection. King wheeling. Dealey can't put back. Good. David King. He came with the steal. And Rainier Beach with the 1998 Class 3A state championship.
What's up, everybody? Not in my house, is in the house. This is your host, Eric, and as always, right next to me is my co-host, Zach. Zach, what's going on this morning, my friend?
Hey, it's the first time all summer we got rain in Reno, and how fitting to have a Seattle guest. It feels a lot like Seattle today in Reno, so I'm just excited for this guest and learn a little bit more today. I'm excited.
Absolutely. He's a Seattle legend, like you just said, who won that memorable 1998 state championship with Rainier Beach High School. He's a coach, director, commissioner of the Crossover. Honored to have him on the show today, Mr. David King. How are you today, sir?
Man, it's a pleasure, you fellas, man. Appreciate you guys having me, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on the show today. We've had a few Seattle guys on the show, like we were talking about earlier. Tell us about Seattle and what your childhood was like growing up there.
To be honest with you, man, I have a really, really big family. And believe it or not, like, my mother's the baby out of nine.
Wow.
And then my father was in the middle pack of 11. And then my grandmother was a child of 20. So when I say that, literally, like, not only in Washington State, everybody says, how is everybody Dave King's cousins? It literally is in some form of being a blood cousin. So I grew up, I was raised by my mother. My father was deceased when I turned 3 years old. So she took the liberty to raise me and my sister by herself. I did have male influences that did take part in help raising, because only men can raise men. But my mom is A1. She's one of my heroes. And she put her kids first. So growing up with grandparents, being at grandparents' house after school, where it was like 15 of us eating top ramen and drinking Kool-Aid, man, it was a good time, man. I can't complain about the childhood, though.
Nice. That's awesome, man. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon for you, man. That's
for real.
That's pretty awesome. Hey, what was the first sport you got into? I was like asking this question because a lot of basketball guys we have, they'll say Little League baseball or football they liked better, but just basketball they were better at. So was there a sport you got into before basketball?
Well, no, I mean, I was always a big kid, but I was an asthmatic as a kid, so was allergic to grass. I always loved football, but my mom really wouldn't let me play because I was allergic to grass at the time, being asthmatic. So kind of just fell in love with the game of basketball at a very, very young age. I was getting a chance to watch the GOAT Michael Jordan play, you know, born in 79, so when you see in the early 90s, you're about 7 or 8 years old, you can kind of watch and see and observe greatness at a young age. You know what I'm saying? And being able to kind of see that. And every kid has a hoop that their parents get them, that they can put somewhere in the house, whether it's on their door or in the basement. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of fell in love with the game of basketball at an early age.
You know, we ask this question a lot, but I'm actually curious about this because of Seattle. Did you play the blacktop a lot in Seattle, or was there not a lot of Seattle blacktop because of the rain, the constant rain? I know it's kind of an interesting question to ask, but a lot of times we ask guys about playing on the blacktop and they got great stories, but in a place where it rains a lot, I mean, how much of a blacktop game is there?
Man, no, to be honest with you, not a whole lot of blacktop play. More so, like, I went to Van Asselt Elementary School, which is in Seattle, so there's a famous community center called Van Asselt Community Center. So we got a chance to play there a lot, which was inside a gymnasium, like a community center. Then you had Rainier Beach Community Center as well. So we had community centers, you know, every now and then you play at a Rainier outside, or El Centro on Beacon Hill, which was outside. That's only, you just got a chance to enjoy it when it was sunny. So during the summer. So I didn't do a lot of blacktop play. Plus, I heard that was rough on your knees. So,
No doubt. At these runs, though, I mean, you must have ran into some familiar names playing at these runs. I mean, can you name drop a few, like any that come to mind that our listeners might know at these runs?
Well, I'm gonna push forward for a second, just with from high school on. Like, I was kind of, I would say, ahead of my time, because Coach Mike Bethea, the great Coach Mike Bethea, allowed me to open Rainier Beach, and I used to have the runs where we went on both courts. So if I name drop for a second, I'll just give you guys some names that in my open runs of who used to play. So you had Douglas Wren is what I call him, Douglas L. Like, we call him Flight. The great Jamal Crawford, Jerry Petty, Roydell Smiley, Jimmy Haywood, Nate Robinson, Will Conroy, Tommy King, Yusef Aziz, who am I missing? Ed Roy, Javon Nickens. We had a host of players. Jason King, the kids from Mercer Island, Tyler Bessiker, Josh Fisher. We had all those guys in the gym. I believed in if we're going to have the best runs, then let's play with the best players. That was just a big thing of mine, of being in the gym and falling in love with that process.
Yeah, I mean, you dropped some amazing names, and I mean, everybody from the area knows what a, you know, tight brotherhood that basketball community is in Seattle. And, you know, I'm just curious, because you got the Seattle Supersonics, you got UW. I mean, it's a special time in basketball when you're growing up. So who are some of your basketball idols? Because I always think it's kind of interesting to ask guys who they mirror their game after, and especially with you, with such a unique style of play, unique, powerful build. Like, who are some of the guys that you looked at and wanted to play like?
Well, honestly, I watched a lot of videos of Hakeem Olajuwon as far as footwork, because I know he was a soccer player. So I used to kind of, in the basement, never played soccer, because it wasn't really around like that, or at least where I'm from, you didn't get a chance to really see it like that. So I idolize him for his footwork. I've always been Shaquille O'Neal's my favorite player. So kind of like with my personality and my girth, just not 7 feet tall, is who I like to pattern my game after, just with the physical ability to dominate people physically. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I really pattern my game after, I would say. But just hero-wise, Doug Christie's one of our heroes. He was one of the first people to make it that actually came back, and he used to have a Doug Christie camp, allowed us to play him one-on-one in the Rainier Beach Gymnasium. So he was one of our heroes. Gary Payton and Sean Kemp used to actually come physically to our high school games. And obviously, because there was a guy that wore number 23 on my team. I think you guys might know who he is, but they were there to see him. You know what I'm saying? So I got a chance to enjoy the show as well.
That's awesome. I love that you dropped a Doug Christie. He actually bought me a coffee one time before a Kings game. He was about to announce a Kings game, and we were behind him in line and bought us a coffee. So he's a good dude. I appreciate it.
It's my big brother, man. I talk to him. I talk to him once a week, even right now. So he, trust me, he's still up to date on everything that happens with Rainier Beach, and we talk weekly. So it's my big bro forever, for life.
That's awesome. Yeah, we love Doug Christie, because we were Kings fans growing up, because Reno's only a couple hours from Sacramento. So I got to watch a lot of Doug growing up. But
absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, Douglas Ronell, or Flight, how you like to call him, mentioned your name, like I said earlier, and he referenced your footwork right away, but he also referenced your hands, like how great you were with your hands. And I'm just really curious. I've actually never asked anybody this before, but were there certain things that, like, can you work on having good hands in basketball? Were there certain drills that you did to, like, work on that? Or is that kind of God-given ability? And also your footwork, like, what kind of things would you do to maximize your footwork and your hands?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I would say it's a God-given ability, but at the same time, I used to, with my hands, always squeeze tennis balls. I used to have tennis balls and just always constantly squeeze the tennis ball. I always had a basketball in the air where I'm working on my form and follow through. So it's just kind of got used to it. And I got some pretty big hands, you know what I'm saying, that they don't sweat. They don't get sweaty. A lot of people's hands get sweaty where they have to put powder. My hands don't do that. And the footwork, man, is just, I wasn't the most athletic kid. So I had to be able to do something with the guys that can jump to get them off balance. So footwork, I think, is key. You know, you get them up off their feet, be able to go underneath them, or, you know, you got to use your brain and be smarter when you're not the most athletic, I would say.
No, it makes sense too. And you brought up Olajuwon, and I think of, you know, in the 90s, there was definitely a lot more athletic centers. You saw the position started to change. You know, David Robinson was another one that was very athletic. There was guys that were just getting to the hoop more. A lot of those moves, you know, it changed a lot back in the 90s for sure. So that makes sense. And I like your point about the hands, because, you know, I always joke around in football. It's like, you know, how did he not make that interception? Well, that's why he's on defense. Because he can't catch, you know what I mean? So right. I do agree with you that it's a God-given thing for sure. You grew up and played high school with Jamal Crawford. He's a favorite of both of ours. I loved him when he was a Knick. I'm a huge Knicks fan. What was your first impression of Jamal?
Well, see, the thing is, what people don't know, Jamal was originally here. We went to South Shore together, middle school, which is across the street from Rainier Beach. But he ended up going back to live after middle school with his father and his grandmother in California. Mind you, when he left, he was about 5'9". And when he came back, he was 6'5". So it was pretty amazing to see when he came back, and I told him, bro, you're the missing ingredients to this puzzle, man. I need a point guard that can get me the ball and we can make this thing happen. And we were always friends, but that really opened up a bond to where we became brothers. So it's beyond friendship. You know, that's my brother. And, you know, we talk probably 4 to 5 times a day, even still today. Very influential in each other's lives, with advice and sound doctrine and all that good stuff. But as far as playing with him, I've never saw a player better than him. Not with playing with. It's not just the ability of him scoring, but what he stood for is when he put winning over everything, where he could average 30 plus, but he dummied it down to make sure he got his teammates involved. He cared about winning was the number one thing, and he was driven to make it to the NBA. So that's how I knew he was going to make it, because it was his drive was something I never saw like that. I never saw before.
Let me ask you this, since you've known him forever, when did you first think you knew he had a legit shot to make it to the NBA?
When he came back and I saw that he was 6'5", what he could do with the basketball, and just pure, he brought a different swag of hoop back to Washington. Like Douglas Wren helped pave the way 100% with what he did in the AAU circuit going into his senior year and put Washington on his back to say, and Jamal just helped enhance and open it up to take it to another level. You know what I'm saying? Where is a 6'5 guard that can dribble like Magic Johnson and can shoot like with the best shooters. And it's like Jamal was looking to embarrass you every single time. And that was second to none. It was like a movie. Like everywhere we went, it was like we were rock stars. Every gym was packed. They wanted to see this kid. And it was like he did not disappoint ever.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're that talented and you're drawing that much attention, you know, obviously it's a team game. I'm just really curious how he was as a leader, especially when he's moving, you know, back to Seattle. Like, how was he – like, what could you tell about his leadership that separated him from everybody else too?
Well, his will to win, and with him sacrificing and taking it on himself to say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice whatever it takes in order for us to win. And when you can do that, because somebody that can average 30 to 35 plus points a game, but if there's like, you know what, I'm gonna hold my game back to a degree for the good of the team. And sometimes you have to do that, because if you just score, then it allows people to stand around and watch. He would take the time to make sure that we ran the play where Mr. Olympia, Phillip Heath, 7-time Mr. Olympia, because he was a shooter, that he would be able to get his jump shot off, or put other people in position where they can score, or they can do this or do that. He was always encouraging. It was never a down play of never thinking he was better than the next person. It was team over everything. And that's really an art that's missing from this game now with some of these kids, is just team over everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I coach high school basketball, and I totally agree with you. That is what's missing. And, I mean, that speaks volumes about Jamal, but also speaks volume about you reaching out to him and, you know, kind of understanding that he's that missing piece, because a lot of kids want to be the star. And I mean, I think that says a lot about you also bringing him over to your side. And I got to ask, because a lot of kids and a lot of our listeners probably don't understand just how stacked your era was in high school. I mean, can you give our listeners an idea of just some of the familiar names you went up in high school and just kind of the high school scene in general when you played?
Man, so I'm gonna take it. I'm name dropping today, y'all. So you guys watch this podcast. Like I said, I'm from the old school, and like I said, I'm from the era where you give everybody their just due and their credit. You go to Eastlake. There's a 7-footer over there by the name of Curtis Borchardt. He averaged 30 in high school. Went to University of Stanford. You got Jason King at Lake Washington. That he was one of the best 3-point shooters I've ever seen. You got Dan Dickow and Zach Gordy over there at Prairie. You have Douglas Wren and Kevin Burleson and Nate Burleson at O'Day. You have Eric Bond at Seattle Prep. You have Grant Leap, Scott Campbell, and Brian Whitehead at Mount Vernon. You got Mark Bigelow at Olympia. You got Mark Arrington at Edmonds Woodway. Mark Arrington, we played college together. He was a bucket, 6'4" lefty, can flat out score with the best. You got Anthony Lewis, Jimmy Haywood, Alvin Snow, all at Franklin High School. Big Will Hendricks. You got Roydell Smiley, Jerry Petty, Clayton Smith, Ed Roy, Ed Garfield. It don't stop. You got Josh Tiggs and Curtis Allen at Curtis High School. You got Jonathan Anderson and Reggie Williams at Mount Tahoma. So just naming these names that are all over the state that year was amazing. You got Brian Dennis at Meadowdale. So, I mean, it's like all over the state. Terry Thompson at Ingram High School, Lamar Cummings. You got Lorenzo Duran and Nathan Hill. Like I said, Andrew Coates at Eastside Catholic. It was stacked, man. Then you got everybody in Mercer Island went D1. Tyler Besseker, Josh Fisher, Elliot Prosse Freeman, Ben Gordon. They had a squad. Matt Logie. Come on, man. Get me started, man.
it's amazing because, I mean, you could basically have a whole podcast of you just naming names. And, I mean, like, with all those names, did you have one personal rival? Like, who was your rival in high school? Like, both individually and as a team? Who would you say was that rival?
I didn't really have a direct rival. I would say O'Day was Rainier Beach's rival in high school. That was our rival. It was more so Franklin and Garfield were considered as 3A. We were 2A back then. So Garfield and Franklin had their rivalry. O'Day was Rainier Beach's rival. So it was always a fun time playing against Douglas.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm sure. Yeah, he was a good time when we had him on the show, too. So I can imagine what it was like playing against him. He was vicious, man, going at the rim.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's truly amazing. Truly amazing. Mean, athletic, and superior, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you say how mean he played. He's one of the nicest guys we ever talked to.
Absolutely. But you say it's because of what he went through, and people didn't know his story. So he took it personal.
Right. And it'd be criminal of me to not ask about your state title run. I mean, it takes more than just talent to win a title. I mean, you also have to click as a team. So what made it work? And I'm curious, when you believe that you were a state championship team, like, was there a moment where you believed that you could win it all?
Well, honestly, and I'm going to be 100% transparent with you guys. When I saw when we played Mercer Island in the summer at a Sumner tournament and we lost the game in overtime, we ended up playing the game with 4 people because everybody fouled out. I knew, I told Jamal, we're going to win state. And I'll make sure that I can get Jamal on here for you guys if you guys want him. But he'll tell you the same that I knew then, that we had a serious, serious chance, and everybody gelled, and everybody understood their role. Like you say the terms now, we understood the assignment. Like Coach Mike Bethea and his staff, it was his 4th year being a head coach. Everybody knew what to do and how to do in order to get it done. So a huge shout out to the legendary Coach Mike Bethea and his staff, and all my brothers that played with me in 1998, man. It was never just a Dave and Jamal show. It was a team effort. And I love my brothers for life for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I love the passion that you still speak about, you know, against your opponents and your teammates to this day. I mean, it really shows like your love and appreciation for the game. And, you know, speaking of the love and appreciation and all of that, I mean, when you sealed that win in that state championship game with those free throws and the steal at the end, I mean, I did watch the game. I saw your interview. I mean, you said you're going to Disneyland after you won. I just want to ask, like, how nervous were you at that free throw line? And did you end up going to Disneyland? Did you end up going?
Man, bro, I didn't. We didn't have the money to go across the street, like Jamal said in another podcast, to Jack in a Box. So, you know, where I got that from, you know, you watch, you're the Super Bowl champion. What are you going to do next?
Yeah.
So that was my opportunity, though. Like, I was interviewed. It was my time, and I felt it was only right. Now, I did end up going to Disneyland at some point in time years after that, but it wasn't actually that time. But as far as nervousness, no. The play was designed and set up for me to get the ball on that last play. We were kind of in a stack. Jamal went one way. Phillip went the other way. I went straight down the middle to go get the ball. And our assistant coach, Harold Rice, said, make these free throws. And I said, I got you. It was my time.
Yeah.
It was my time. Never nervous about playing the game. Yeah. I took it as an honor and a privilege to be able to play the game at a high level in high school. And once we got there, you might as well win it because, I mean, that's the last opportunity that you're going to get, you know?
Yeah. It was really fun going back and watch that game because I went back and watched it a couple of days ago after we found out that you were going to be on the show. And, you know, I just loved watching you guys play in Bigelow. I mean, you guys kind of maybe made the fans a little bit nervous, but it sounds like you guys felt pretty confident the whole way. But I do want to ask, because I feel like this is kind of interesting when we get into these questions, but did you ever go to the big camps, like the Nike camp or the Pump Brothers camp? And if so, like, do you have any memorable moments? And what did you take from those experiences? Like, what kind of measuring stick was that for you as a player?
Well, the thing about it, man, I played community center basketball because, if truth be told, AAU wasn't really around in, like, 96, 95. So we played for Rainier Vista Community Center as growing up. So I never got a chance to do any of those camps, man, to be honest with you. I did not. I didn't get the privilege of traveling to play AAU basketball like my sons are doing now. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get a chance to do any of that. I know George Carl started Friends of Hoop, like, going into our senior year was, like, really the first real year of, like, really AAU basketball that Doug went crazy and when it came on the scene to be able to travel. So it wasn't really around. So if I can change anything in my era, I would love to be able to have played on the circuit, because I think that I would have showed a lot of people the big man is still alive, because I honestly felt that there's nobody physically that can guard me. And I can shoot, I can pass. I think I had all the elements, just kind of undersized being 6'6". In that era of basketball, if I was 6'9", 6'10", I'd have a 20-year NBA career. I believe that wholeheartedly. Unfortunately, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and it didn't turn out that way, but I'm still able to affect the game by coaching high school and being a mentor that way.
Right, which is super important anyway. I mean, that's the giving back. That's, I mean, that lasts lifetimes. You affect generations doing that, which
absolutely,
I think is super important. What was the recruiting process like for you? Did you have any good looks, any recruiting process stories you can tell us?
I had quite a few looks. University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, Oregon looked at me. Washington football looked at me. Wazoo. I had different looks, but was kind of a mama's boy. Ended up going to a national junior college, which was Modesto Junior College. Did well my first year. Me and Mark Arrington played together freshman year in a tough Northern California league. Played against some pros, the future pros in that. And I held my own. I did really good. I averaged like 18 and 13 as a freshman. Didn't go back my sophomore year. Was kind of homesick. It of loving the game, but just not knowing what a sense of direction. This is where the father figure part would have really helped, or me really grasping a hold to it for real. You know what I'm saying? Got a scholarship offer to Seattle University under the great Al Harrison. And I went before that, I went to Highline Community College. I ended up winning a championship, an NWAC championship. Very inspirational on that team. Me and Yusuf Aziz and Darnell Lyons won a championship there. So I, my second championship, and then was going to attend Seattle U, ended up not going there. Al Harrison left. And then the career kind of, after that, kind of faded and started. I got into sales and had a summer job and kind of been doing that ever since with the coaching. So it didn't quite go as I wanted it to go. But when money came on the scene and actually making good money in sales and different things like that, you know, it was definitely fun. I wish, I'm not going to say I wish because I don't regret anything, but if I had to do over again, I would have pressed harder in order to see what the next level could have been like. So, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you obviously stayed involved with basketball, and, I mean, what an impact you've made, like you said, with the coaching. But, I mean, also the pro-am, I mean, the crossover. And I'm just really curious how you got involved with the crossover. I mean, it's obviously expanded and become so popular. But can you talk to us about the start and the growth of just how much it's meant to the city?
Well, that's one of my big things that I look to. I consider that like as one of my second jobs is put in place, you know. Speaking of the pro-am, like really wanting to help Jamal is his baby. So, and it's something that Doug Christie started and Jamal kind of took it over. And I've watched, you know, being his one of his best friends and brother, just kind of watched, but then really coming on the scenes the last couple years of being involved of just helping him take it to the next level, making it where he got it where the college players is sanctioned for them because before they couldn't play in it. And so, and just with no Sonics being here, I saw how important it was to him. So I was like, well, let's make this the Sonics to the people. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he said, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We want to provide a brand of basketball to make them feel like that they have a basketball team here. So, I mean, I take it as an honor and privilege with the staff that we have in order to put that together from early July to the end of August every year.
Yeah, that's really smart, too, because I know how much – I mean, really, I think if you're an NBA fan, you miss the Sonics, period. You know, I mean, I couldn't imagine being in Seattle and not having, you know, my hometown team in the NBA anymore. One question I want to ask you is you've had some incredible names walk through that gym. Is it difficult to get guys – to want to play in the pro-am, which I don't think it is, or is it the opposite where you got to turn guys down and filter who you want playing in it? Or is that something that gradually happened?
So we put the teams together for the most part, but then when the NBA guys, you got to think about it, Jamal played in the league for 20 plus years.
Right.
And so his influence of who the fans say they want, or us and the staff sitting down and talking about, maybe we should bring this person because they never got a chance to see this person because the Sonics were gone. So it's really the relationship that Jamal has built over the years with different players that make them feel really good about coming to Seattle because the love and the feeling that they get of when they come because we yearn for basketball so much.
How electric is the gym during these pro-ams? I mean, explain to the listeners that have never been to one what it's like.
Listen, man, from the two-year-old to the senior citizen, it's eye-gluing, paying attention, pure, unadulterated fun. Depending on who comes, it is extremely electrifying. I'll speak to what we just did when we brought LeBron James. It was... it was a surreal feeling to see him walk through that door. And obviously you see the fans kind of lost their mind. So did everybody else for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So absolutely.
It was just like, it was like he hadn't been here in 15 years. So a lot of these people didn't get a chance to actually see him ever. So it was jaw dropping to them. So it was definitely, and then you have the Jason Tatums in, you have the Aaron Gordon's, and then you throw a little bit of DeJounte Murray, then you throw some Paolo Banchero, Then you throw Marjon Beauchamp. It's like, then you throw Tari Eason. It's like, oh my goodness, like this is all happening in one day. So it's just like, then you got Isaiah Thomas, and then you got CJ Ellaby. You got 10 professional NBA players. It's almost like an all-star game.
Right.
At the crossover. It's never been done by a pro ever. It never will.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's truly amazing what you guys have done at the Pro-Am. And I think it's really shown what a leader of the city and just what a real person Jamal Crawford is, you know, being so involved with it and participating in it. And, I mean, I lived in Seattle, so I know that Jamal is basically, you know, the mayor, the governor of the city. But can you paint a picture of what Jamal means to Seattle and how guys like you, Douglas Ronell, Nate Robinson, those guys, you know, all the Hoopers, like how you guys have built such a amazing basketball culture and brotherhood in the city and like with the Pro-Am, like just kind of paint that picture, like what this all means to the city.
Well, there shouldn't be any big eyes or little U's because we're all in this for one goal, one common goal, and that's to help change lives, whether it's your life or whether it's the kid's life. We are here to be examples one to another. Like Douglas came and we treat him with royalty when he comes and he watches, and he just said he came just to support me and Maul. And that means a lot because this thing is bigger than basketball, man. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, if they stop basketball, what do you have? You have friendship. You have a brotherhood. You have relationships. And that thing is important. Like, you know, Nate, I coach his children. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's him growing up watching me and Jamal play was help influence him to want to go to Rainier Beach. You know what I'm saying? All his family went to Garfield. So just with relationships and being a regular person, being a real person, putting your stature to the side, it speaks volumes day in and day out. And like I said, we just want to see the next kid make it. We just want to see the next person make it. We want to help elevate the next person. So it's a beautiful thing.
You know, I always get that vibe, you know, and listen to you talk. It's like Seattle just seems like that type of place. I mean, the music scene in the 90s, all those guys worked together, wore each other's T-shirts. When one of them became famous, all brought each other's bands up to be famous. It sounds like the same exact thing that's going on with basketball in Washington all these years. It's like, it just seems like Seattle's that type of place where everybody's looking to kind of pick each other and push each other up, which I think is pretty cool. We've talked so much about the Pro-Am and how much, you know, it's grown and gotten so much exposure. It's now in video games. I mean, it's crazy to think, like, you know, you guys start this thing off and like where it's taken off to. Do you have any more ideas to try to expand it even more from what your vision is moving it forward?
Absolutely, but I can't tell you.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, what we want to do, honestly, is we want to provide the best brand of basketball every Saturday and Sunday from the month of July to the end of August for free, that allows people that can't afford it, that allows kids that are dreaming to allow the adults that are dreaming, because not only do we have the pros play on that court, but at 12 o'clock, we have kids games from second grade all the way up to going into 17U. They get to get the same showcase. They get their names called. They get to play a real game on the court before the Pro-Am teams actually start playing, as well as the pros. So they get to share the stage, and we do it for women as well.
That's awesome.
So the thing is that we are all in this together. One thing is Jamal is really, really big on is giving everybody their flowers. And he said, and we got to spread love and cheers. And that's just who we are. It doesn't matter. Isaiah Thomas is from Tacoma. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's our little brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's love. It doesn't matter where you're from. The love is going to be shown. We're gonna try to provide it. We're gonna spread it because, again, all positive vibes, man. No negativity. We don't got room for negativity. Life is too short for that, man.
Yeah, amen on that one. That's the truth. So Seattle just announced the Sonics are getting their NBA team back. As a Seattle native, how excited are you? And what's the excitement level of Seattle right now, knowing that?
Man, when that game on October 3rd happens, and they announce that. And they announce it, when you see that Clipper Portland game is going to be at Climate Pledge, that place is going to be packed to the brim, and the people are going to realize it. No, and those NBA players are going to feel the love of Seattle's urgency about having a team here.
Yeah.
They will feel it. They will feel it. Every pro that comes back, LeBron James, when he did this, that place exploded. I mean, you can ask Trae Young and John Collins what it felt like to come play in it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's a surreal feeling. Is it because it's pure innocence and it's pure, oh my gosh, like we deserve this. We've been yearning for this. And you know, with it being free, how do you lose?
Yeah. You don't. And I hated that it took so long to get the team back. And I mean, I really hated that the team was gone to begin with. I mean, you know, there's a lot of history with the Sonics in the NBA. And I just think it was just such a bad move to take them and move them and to Oklahoma City of all places. And so I'm glad you guys got the Sonics back, man. I mean, it needed to be done personally. And I'm sure we'll see the Vegas team next, right? Because Vegas has taken over the world.
I love Vegas to travel to, but it's Seattle on mine, baby.
I like Vegas for a weekend. I don't know if I could have season tickets, though.
It might be a little much. Yeah, it's definitely a weekend thing, man. Definitely a weekend thing.
That is the truth. Hey, we got a quick lightning round for you, if you don't mind. Zach's going to ask the question. Zach, are you ready?
I am. My first question.
Zach, you put me on the spot, Zach. Here we go, baby. Here we go.
All right. Got to get ready. Who is your toughest cover as a player? Who's that one guy that you just couldn't figure out how to guard?
Ooh.
Lightning round's not easy.
On the spot. Man, first question.
No, because I'm trying to think who was difficult for me to guard. Come back to me on that one. I got it because you're making me think. I would say, David Emslie.
Okay. Did you have a favorite nickname that stuck?
Big Swirly.
Big Swirly, love it.
I used to have the big swirl parts when I had hair back in the day with my haircuts. I had the big swirl. My coach called me Big Swirly.
I love it. That's awesome. Any weird superstitions that you or a teammate had that come to mind?
We used to wear rubber bands on our wrists in high school, and when we make a mistake, we would pop ourselves. Who knows where it came from, but it looked good because Iverson had them, so I think we just followed the trend.
Yeah, they don't let the high school kids wear those anymore.
No, not at all. Coach. Not at all.
What do you wish that you knew as a player that you now know as a coach?
Patience and virtue will pay off if you put in the work.
Love it. That's awesome. Most surprising player to play at the crossover that made some noise. Like, who's that one guy that made a name for themselves there?
The kid Michael Ajayi that played this year.
Okay. You have a favorite pro-am moment? There's got to be one that comes to mind.
Kevin Durant coming to the pro-am after he played for the Sonics. Just his pure joy, and it took him back to when he played, and just being in the locker room with him, like it took him to a place where, like, man, I really miss this place.
Okay. And Eric's going to laugh because I always ask this from people from really awesome big cities, but I lived in Seattle a little bit. I'm just curious, where's your favorite spot in Seattle? Where's your spot to eat? I mean, where's your hangout spot? Where do you like to go?
Man, I'm a bowler by trade. Like, I'm trying to perfect that. So I like to bowl. That's one of my favorite places, but the Puyallup Fair, man, is going on this month. So you get the Earthquake Burgers and the kids. They kind of got a little bit for everybody to do. They got concerts. My wife's birthday's on this Wednesday, so we're going to the Maxwell concert featuring Joe. So I like the Puyallup Fair. That's a hangout spot in the month of September.
That's awesome. I might need to make a quick trip up there for that one. And happy early birthday to your wife, by the way. And my final question to you is, what's your favorite basketball memory? If you had to pick one, I'm sure I know it. I just always ask it.
Yeah, man. Winning a state championship is something that we had the largest attendance crowd ever in a 4-day span. And we played in the Monumental Kingdom. And it was kind of imploded the year 2000, I think 2 years after that. And it was monumental to be able to say that we played in one of the hardest state tournaments, if not the hardest ever, that 1 through 7 could have won. And we weren't really the favorites. So best moment of my life as far as when basketball goes, absolutely.
Let me ask you this, and this is not a a quick lightning round question, because I'm curious about this, because we've had some guests talk about playing in like the Carrier Dome and some of those other places back in the day, like the Silver Dome, right? The big, big, big domes where football teams played. How hard was it to play in a dome like that, especially being in high school, like where the sound just carries or disappears, or
it's just so huge? I'm gonna be honest with you. We took a tour on that Tuesday of the King Dome, and it's scary initially, but when you put the uniform on and you're warming up, we feel like we're in the NBA.
Right.
Like everybody's watching us, so there was no fear. Like, we came out against who was our first? Tumwater. And we left no doubt. We were here to win it.
So and no difference on your shot with being in such a big environment, issues or anything.
I shot jump hooks in everywhere.
Little baby hooks.
Yeah, baby hooks, post moves, reverses, that type of thing. The atmosphere didn't change. We were accustomed to it. Everywhere we played, it was packed. Obviously, with it being bigger, there was dead spots on the court, but that was more so for Jamal and Phillip and those guys to worry about. My thing was, man, this court is bigger than that other court, so I got to run up and down even more.
Right.
That was more my thing. We got to run up and down this big court, but yeah, it didn't faze me at all.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was just curious because we had somebody on just recently that was talking about that and how, you know, it took them like warm ups to get acclimated, but it was such a big arena that it was, you know, it was weird to hear the sounds of, like, you know, the sound bouncing off of the walls and things like that, which I thought was interesting. So you mentioned the King Dome, where, you know, plenty of concerts have been and the Seattle Seahawks played many games in. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got my name on it, so it's fit for me to win.
There you go. There you go. Hey, you are generous, really gracious with your time. We really appreciate it. I love hearing, you know, anytime we talk to somebody from Seattle, man, it's like the love of basketball in that city you can feel in our conversations. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. Before we let you out of here, Zach, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks so much for your time, man. This is a lot of fun for me. Like I said, your name always came up when you have the serious basketball talks about the great players that came out of the area. And I lived there for a little bit, so anytime I can give Seattle their props, I love to do it. So I just really appreciate you, man. This is an honor.
I appreciate it even being in the category of the greats. I don't take that lightly. So for you talking to many people, even besides Douglas Hill, of saying that Dave King is one of those ones, man, I really try to share with me kind of coaching high school going on close to my 20th year is it's not about me, but you have the opportunities even more so than I did to make it to where you can get a scholarship. You know what I'm saying? Where school is paid for and your parents are stress-free because it's already taken care of. So I have two kids. I have a 13-year-old son and an 11-year-old son that are both have ambitions to play Division I, and they play for Rotary Styles up here in Seattle. So I just want to be able to be an example, just like I have done with the different young men that's come through the Rainier Beach program, the likes of Kevin Porter Jr. and DeJounte Murray. These were kids that were Marjan that were through the program, and now they're NBA players. And it just makes me proud and honored to be able to say I had some influence on that young man to help him get there. Don't want anything from him, but I just want to be able to give what I have, give the knowledge that I have in order to spread cheers, man, so that their life can change.
Man, that's the way to do it. I mean, it's amazing how much, when you look back, how many differences you do make. That's really, in my opinion, what life's all about. Real quick, too, because I didn't ask you this, is there anything you want to add or promote?
I would say support high school basketball this year. Support the kids through AAU, whether it's your time, whether it's you just supporting, whether it's whatever it may be, always try to pay it forward. That's one thing that me and Jamal are big on, and support the crossover. It's a free event. So all you got to do is take a couple hours coming down to SPU. I know July is a long way away, but we got some things coming up next year that we're gonna really take it to another level. Excellent. Because people have been inspired by seeing LeBron James come, so they're knocking on the door.
Oh yeah, hey,
they're knocking on the door.
Oh yeah, that what a great get, and how, I mean, that's gonna go next level up for you for sure. I mean, I'm sure like you said, you can't talk, but I know you got some plans, because how do you not have plans on top of that? I mean, you know, the thing I'm going is, where do you go next? I mean, you know, you had the, I don't call him the GOAT, but he's the second GOAT. I mean, where do you go from there, right?
One of the greatest players to ever lace him up. Yeah, and it's just, we take it as honor and a privilege, and we salute LeBron for coming out. And Jason Tatum, he's special too.
Special. Yeah, no, you're not lying about that. Dave, thanks for coming on the show today, man. We really appreciate everything you gave us, and have a wonderful day, my friend.
Man, we appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for having me. We're going to promote you guys even more. Like I said, I'm going to tell all the people about it. Man, you guys were gracious hosts, man, and I'm honored and privileged that you guys asked me.
I appreciate that. We really appreciate that.
We really do appreciate that.
Take care, gents.
Thank you.
You too.
You know, I'm not lying when I said, you know, every time we got somebody on from that Seattle scene, it's just love. I mean, you can tell the love for basketball. And like I said in the interview, it was the same thing with the music scene there. I mean, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, all those bands, they were all buddies with each other, and they were all wearing each other's T-shirts. Like, when Soundgarden got famous first, they were wearing other bands' T-shirts from that era. And it's like, I got that same vibe. I just feel like Seattle's that place where everybody's just looking to bring each other up. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is. That's why I love living there, man. That was why I chose to go up and play my college ball up there. And that's why I wanted to go back the second time. That's why I want to go move back a third time. It's just a special place, and you really feel it, you know, when you're really within the basketball community. I mean, they're so passionate about their sports. I mean, the Mariners, the Seahawks, I mean, it's not even just the basketball. They're just a really passionate, loving city. And I mean, it truly is a very special place. You know, like you said, the music scene, everything about it, I just miss it a lot. Wonderful place, wonderful people. And every guest we've ever had from there has been so gracious with their time. So anytime we can help put Seattle on the map, man, like I said, we're always down for it.
Yeah, and you know, talking about the music scene, a lot of those guys too played ball, and they played in the bass player from Pearl Jam used to play in those MTV Rock and Jock things. He actually had some game too. so you can see that crossover there, no pun intended. But what a great conversation. It's just, I don't know, I just love hearing people that want to give back, and I love hearing, you know, names of people going through that city. I mean, I was a huge Nate Robinson fan, being a, you know, huge Knick player, you know, Jamal. I mean, what can you not say about Jamal? I mean, to do it at the level he did it for 20 plus years. And I bet too, you know, it's kind of funny, I bet NBA teams are still sniffing around on him.
Oh, how could you not?
April, you know what I mean? Like, come playoff time, I guarantee you his phone still rings. You know, which is so impressive, man. And he had, you know, besides his crossover, man, he had a pure 3-point shot. I mean, dude, you know, I watched him put up 50 for the Knicks. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't keep him, because, man, he was an amazing player for sure. Still is, probably.
And you know, put the player and the skills aside, think about the professionalism. I mean, he was a true professional for 20 years. That's not
totally
easy to do. Yeah, totally. Not easy to do.
No, 100%, man. And it's like, you know, that's something that, you know, it's nice to hear, you know. And speaking of nice to hear, I mean, you know, a couple new countries charting in, which is awesome. I mean, it's insane. I mean, one of these days we should figure out how many countries we've charted in and whatnot. Maybe I can get you on sending them all gift bags or something like that for listening and charting and whatnot. But in all seriousness, it's pretty amazing. And it's all because of you guys, the listeners. I mean, we've had some listeners from day one, which, thank you for sticking with us for almost 3 years now, which is insane. And all the people that, you know, spread the word about us, talk about us, it really does help. And nowadays, with social media being as algorithm hell as it is, you know, you actually physically telling somebody, like sharing something or just telling somebody, boy, that does make a difference. And we do see it, because more people are, you know, lining up, calling us up, sending us emails to get on the show, which is, man, I never thought that would happen 3 years ago. So it's pretty amazing from where we started to where we are now. So I just wanted to give a quick thanks to that. Zach, is there anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I just want to say huge thanks to Dave King. I mean, what a pleasant guy. What an awesome interview. Just such great insight. And I know he's going to make such a huge difference with those kids. He already has, but I know he's going to continue to do some incredible things. You know, like coach to coach, I really appreciate what he does. And also to our listeners, we appreciate you. I mean, we're going 3 years strong. We're going to go for a fourth. And what an incredible ride it's been. You know, it just keeps getting better and better. And it's just amazing how we haven't lost the joy for it. You know, a lot of
Right.
podcasts fade out, but like, you're just never done learning. Think of all the guests, and we always learn something new. It's just incredible, man. We're blessed.
Yeah, it's funny. Most of the podcasts fizzle out, not even a year in, if you've
Right.
noticed that. There's some crazy stat about that too, but it's like, like I said, we just get more people listening and more people want to come on to the show, and then one person leads to another person, and then you know what? It's kind of funny. It's like we're almost like historians telling stories, letting people tell us stories from different parts of the country where you might not know or understand. And then the beautiful thing about the internet is it's like after you listen to the show, and I know I do this with podcasts that I listen to, the next thing you know, you're on the internet learning more.
Yeah,
You know what I
exactly.
mean? And I'm glad that we can do that. And I'm glad through the whole 3 years of the show, we haven't been hot takers once. You
Yeah.
know, we just let people tell their stories, man. And I think if so, if you want to come on the show, if you're listening, if you're basketball, especially women, we need some women on the show. My
Yeah,
God,
we
you
need
guys
some
are
more
doing
female
wonderful
hoopers.
things right now, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, wonderful things. WNBA had a great season this year. I mean, there's a lot of great college women basketball players. Like, we would love to have some women on the show for sure. So
And
if
I coach girls basketball. We need women on the show.
absolutely, man, because you know what? It's super important, I think, to look up to people when you're a young athlete. You know what I mean? And to have, to be able to listen to conversations like that. So that's my call out to anybody out there. You know, a woman that's amazing at basketball, that's playing at the college level or at the pro level, please have them get a hold of us. So anyway, great talking to everybody. Great interview with Dave King. Really awesome stuff. Thanks for listening, guys. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Peace.